Welcome to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast, where we bring you sermons from our teaching team at Flood Church Lilongwe, Malawi. For more information, you can go to floodchurch.com.
Hey guys, my name is Humphrey Zimkandewire. I'm the lead pastor here at Flood Church in Lilongwe. And I'm so stoked that today we could be together and I could be bringing you the word today. Today I'm actually starting a new series that we have entitled, You Are Not Alone in This. You are not alone in this. Most especially in this season where there's a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, a lot of uncertainties and fears that are surrounding people. We are just wanting to look into what the Bible says about seasons like this. And we'll be looking at the whole series throughout May. It's going to be based on 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 all the way to 16. And we're just going to be looking at that. And today, we'll be looking from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. So let me pray and then we can dive into God's word. God, we want to thank you. We want to bless your name, for you are good. And I pray, Jesus, that your presence would be here. May you help us, God, to see the truth in your word and that we can respond to that which you are saying to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. So yeah, let's read together 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. This is what the Bible says. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the province of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ, sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us the new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. It was October 8th last year, 2019, when I got a phone call that my young brother, him and his wife, just got blessed with a baby boy. And I remember we were so excited and so happy that this gift has come into our family. So we were calling him and calling his wife and just talking to the people in the village and just talking about how amazing this is. They live 6 hours away from us. But it was a day later when I got the sad news that the baby didn't make it. What had happened was that the baby had a breathing problem. And the doctors, even though working in an environment where they didn't have the right machines, they tried their best, but the baby could not survive. So right away, my older brother and I went to meet up my young brother and his wife and to be a comfort to them and to pray with them and to have a chat with them. But as we were there, the sad part was just looking at my brother's wife and seeing that she's still in pain and probably she was gonna go on being in pain for a while and without really having the fruit of a baby in her arms. And this was a really, really sad time for our family and for me personally being there with my brother and his wife. There's a suffering around us and there is pain around us. And you know, you kind of ask questions that come up when you're suffering, when you're going through pain. And these questions are not easy questions. And there's no easy answers to pain, to suffering, to the fears that we experience. You know, questions like, why would someone have gone through, you know, carrying a baby in their womb for 9 months, but not be able to carry them in their arms? That's a hard question. It's not an easy one, it's a hard question, and there's no easy answers. And you might be going through all kinds of pain or suffering right now for you. And, you know, for all of us have gone or are going or will go through pain at some point in our own lives. Pain is not a matter of if you're going to suffer or to go through a painful time or season. It's just a matter of when pain comes, because pain does come. You know, when we are in a time of pain, just like we are reading right now, we need to lean on what's true. We need to lean on what's true, because when you're going through a painful season, you need to understand that the pain or the hard seasons will come and go. But what is constant is the truth, that the truth of God never changes. The circumstances may change, but truth will remain the same, will be constant. I don't know what you're going through right now. Some of you don't know where your rentals are coming from this month, and you're in a great deal of distress. And some of you don't know if you will find a job at all, and you've been job hunting for months or maybe for years, and you're so exhausted and there's nothing happening right now. Some of you don't know if you'll be healed from this disease that you're suffering right now. Some of you are afraid that you might lose that relationship, and you don't know how things will turn out to be when you do lose that relationship. Some of you just got the bad news that you will not be keeping your job anymore. Some of you, you have just lost a loved one, and life will now change forever. Some of you maybe are in a season of depression, and you're wondering if this dark cloud will actually go away at all. Some of you don't know if you will keep your business or if your business will survive at all. Some of you are tired of praying the same prayers over and over and over again without answers, and you're wondering, how long will this keep going on? Some of you feel stuck in one stage of life. Everyone around you is thriving but you, and you're wondering, why? Why me? What's really going on? This list can go on and on. And you know, there's a great deal of suffering around us. There's a great deal of pain around us, and sometimes we wonder if this will end. And this is why looking into this scripture that we just read today, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, you know, it brings comfort, because Peter is writing this letter to churches, and he's writing to people that are going through a great deal of suffering. These guys are scattered because they're on the run. They are being persecuted because the Roman Empire is persecuting them because of their faith. And Peter is writing to them. These guys that are going through ridicule, these guys that are suffering, these guys that probably have gone to have gone to stay in places that they are not familiar with because they're running away. And Peter writes to them. And when he writes to them, he wants to remind them of God's truth. Because remember, when you're going through pain and suffering and uncertainty and fears, you need to lean on what is true. You need to lean on what is true, because circumstances change, but what's true stays the same. So I don't know what questions you're asking in this season of your life, where you're going through pain and suffering, uncertainties and fears. I don't know what questions you're asking, but Peter wants us to remember the truth. He wants us to remember of that which does not change. He wants us to remember that which does not change. And today, if you don't get anything else, I want you to get this truth. Your temporary sadness will be overshadowed by His permanent joy. Your temporary sadness will be overshadowed by His permanent joy. And I want you to remember that, because Peter wanted his readers to remember that right now you might be feeling pain. Right now you might be feeling sad. Right now you might be feeling like things will not get better. Right now you might be in a season where you're feeling so much pain that you're wondering if this is going to go away at all. But even though you're feeling this sadness, but you have to know that that feeling will not be forever. This is temporal. There is something else that's eternal, and God's joy is what's eternal. God's joy is what's permanent. Your temporary sadness will be overshadowed by his permanent joy. So I guess the question is, how do we know? How do we really know that this sadness is temporal and the joy that God promises is eternal? How do we know that? And Peter wanted to remind his readers, first of all, he wanted to remind them of their identity, of whose they are and who they are. And he wanted to remind them. So he says these realities that I wanted us to look at. And reality number one, for you to believe that your temporary sadness will be overshadowed by his permanent joy, is to remember that you belong to an intentional being. You belong to an intentional being. Let's read verse 1 to 2. It says, to God's elect, exiled, scattered throughout the province of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ, sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Here Peter uses these words, God's elect. He uses the word, the phrase, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. What Peter is communicating to his readers is this truth, that you have been intentionally chosen. You have been intentionally chosen. Jesus Christ didn't choose you randomly. It was not by mistake. There is an intentionality to God choosing you. Even before you get where you've got to be right now, even before you believed in God, even before you were born, God intentionally chose that you would belong to him forever. So Peter wants his readers to remember, life might be hard right now. You might be going through this season of persecution. You might be going through a season where you're being ridiculed. And most of these guys, probably they left their families, they left their familiar spaces, and therefore they're in these places where they don't know anyone. And they might be feeling abandoned, but he wants them to remember that God has intentionally chosen them. They belong to an intentional being. So therefore, despite the frustrations, the disappointments, the heartache, the pain, the fear, the uncertainties, the truth that you can lean on today is that you belong to an intentional being. God is intentional about you. God is intentional about you. And because God is intentional about you, that means you can have the confidence that God will keep those he has intentionally chosen. That because God chose you intentionally, you can believe and have the confidence in God that he who intentionally chose you, he is the one who will intentionally keep you and sustain you. Because God intentionally sustains those he intentionally saves. God intentionally sustains those he intentionally saves. Therefore, you can have the confidence that he chose you not to destroy you. He chose you to keep you. He chose you to sustain you. And therefore, because of that truth, you can now believe that your sadness is temporal, but his joy is permanent. You belong to an intentional being. God never saves by mistake. And he never sustains by mistake. He intentionally saves us, and therefore he will intentionally sustain us. So in the season that you're in right now, wherever you might be right now, you have to believe that God will sustain you wherever you might be. That God will sustain you wherever you might be. And God's sustenance may look different for every single one of us. For some people, God's sustenance might be that God will give you something better than you had before. So for instance, if maybe you had a job and you got laid off and God sustains you by giving you a better job, it might be like that. But for some people, most especially I think most of us fall into this category, that God's sustenance often is that he gives us that which we need just for that moment. That he gives us that we need just for that day. That we don't know how things will pan out tomorrow. We don't know how things will pan out the next day. But God will give us the strength that we just need for that just 1 hour, for the next hour, for that just one moment, for that day. That God will just give us what we need for that day. So maybe food for that day, strength for that day, wisdom for that day, direction just for that day. But God will sustain you because God intentionally saved you. And Peter wants us to remember that. He wants us to remember that. And therefore, we can believe and trust that this sadness we're experiencing right now is temporal, is not here to stay. But God's joy is permanent. So your temporal sadness will be overshadowed by His permanent joy. And therefore, you can believe that. Reality number two, you can believe that your sadness is temporal and His joy is permanent when you remember that you are becoming immensely beautiful. You are becoming immensely beautiful. Verse 2 says this, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Peter uses this phrase, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. The sanctifying work of the Spirit. Now, whenever this word sanctification or sanctifying comes up when you're reading the Bible, often think about change. Think about change. That sanctification is a process that God begins to bring change in your heart, in your life. And that change has a purpose. And that change is to make you to become more like Jesus Christ. That you are in the process of becoming like Jesus. You're in the process of becoming like Jesus. And Peter wants his readers to understand that. That not only is God intentional in saving you, but actually that you yourself are becoming immensely beautiful. There's something great that's happening. That even in your pain, even in your suffering, God can use that pain and that suffering to help you to become more like Son. And because we know that Jesus Christ is immensely beautiful, He is immensely beautiful, and therefore God, through His work, He is making you become like Jesus Christ. He is making you beautiful. He is making you into something beautiful. Now, as a pastor who counsels a lot of people that go through a lot of pain and suffering, I'm not saying that you should be saying, hey, look at this beautiful disease or look at this beautiful suffering. That's not what I'm communicating. I'm also not saying that it is God who brings evil, because I don't think God is a bad pharmacist who creates a disease at the same time creating a cure, so that when you get the disease, He gives you the cure to become famous and say, hey, I'm the one that cured you. I don't think God is a bad pharmacist. And whenever, if God is involved in causing us pain, I often want to look at Him more of like a surgeon who cuts you open, not to hurt you, but to remove the tumor. So His cutting is what brings healing. And that's what God is for. And what I am really saying is that God can use the ugliness of pain. God can use the ugliness of suffering and use it to bring something good. That God can take that which is evil and turn it into something which is good. God can take that which He came to destroy you, that He can bring salvation through that. And we see that through the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross. The cross, such an ugly thing, but God turns it into something beautiful that saves us in the end. So through the ugliness of suffering, God is changing you into something beautiful, that God can turn something that's ugly and He can turn it into something beautiful. So in your pain right now, in your suffering right now, in your uncertainties, in your fears, I would like you to remember that God can use this for good. And whatever you are feeling, whatever you're going through right now, God is involved. For God to turn something beautiful, something ugly into beautiful, it means that He gets involved in it. It means He gets involved because He has to turn it. So He has to be involved. And God can take that pain and suffering and use it as a vehicle to bring change into your own life. To do it so that He brings change into your own life. And some of us do tell stories that if it was not for this painful season, I wouldn't have been where I am at right now. And you don't say that statement when you're going through it because it's painful and doesn't make sense. But after having gone through it, you say, thank God for that time because this is what I learned. Or thank God for that time because this is who I became. Because something that was meant for evil, God turned it to mean good. And he does that. He does that. Sometimes God can turn that evil to help us become more like Jesus by changing our perspective, that we can have a better perspective of God, which Jesus has. Jesus has a better perspective of God. Sometimes God can use the pain and the suffering to help us care for other people, to help us have sympathy for those that might be going through the same situation just like we did, and that we can bring comfort to them, just like Jesus Christ brings us to comfort, because he himself went through a great deal of suffering. So God will turn for good that which the devil meant for evil, because God is in it, and God begins to bring change. So therefore, your temporal sadness will be overshadowed by his permanent joy, because you belong to an intentional being, but also you are becoming. You're in a process of becoming. You're in a process of becoming more like Jesus. And God will use even pain and suffering to make you more like Jesus, to help you become more like Jesus. He can use the pain and the suffering. You also need to remember that your triumph is sure, because God wins in the end. You have to remember that your triumph is sure because God wins in the end. For you to believe that the sadness is temporal, for you to believe that God's joy is permanent, you have to remember that your triumph is sure because God wins in the end. Verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I'll read that again. "Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." When you look at Christianity, when you look at following Jesus, it's more of like a comedy. And I don't mean of a comedy to be like a joke, but I mean of a comedy to be a beautiful story. A beautiful story where there might be adversity, but the main character wins in the end. The main character wins in the end. And Peter here uses the word resurrection. So he says, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we see that God brings a gotcha on evil. That through the resurrection, we see that Friday was so bad. We see that Saturday was so bad. It seemed as though on Saturday, evil had triumphed. But came Sunday and God said, "Gotcha! Gotcha!" Because the main character wins in the end. God will triumph. Your triumph is sure because Jesus Christ wins in the end. And through the resurrection, we see God who comes triumphant even in the midst of suffering. Through resurrection, we see a God who wins even in the darkest nights. Through resurrection, we see a God who defeats evil. Through resurrection, we see a God who defeats our greatest enemy, which is death. That death lost its sting in resurrection. And Peter wants his readers to know that you will triumph in the end. And you're going to triumph in the end because God wins. In the end, the one that you have put your hope in, this living hope that you have put in Jesus Christ, it's sure because God will win in the end. He will win in the end. Now, when you look at resurrection, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he didn't just go back to his former body. He looked the same. He still had scars. But he had a new body. He had a glorified body that he could actually penetrate walls and come into even rooms that had closed doors. He would just appear there, easily walk on water, and appear to the people. It's because resurrection communicates that God does not just bring it to the way it was. He makes it better. He makes it better. So I want to encourage you to not just hope for the things to get back the way they were, but for the things to get better, because Jesus Christ wins in the end. And the one who wins in the end, guess what? He is on your side. The one who wins in the end is on your side. Jesus Christ is on your side, and he will do a gotcha on the evil and the suffering that you're going through right now. So therefore, remember that your sadness is temporal and the joy that comes from God is permanent. And therefore, your temporal sadness will be overshadowed by his permanent joy. The pain and the suffering may look like it's a lifetime, but God will win in the end. God will triumph in the end. And we know that through the resurrection, we know that pain will come to an end. There will be in a time where there will be no pain, where there will be no suffering, where there will be no death, where there will be no losses, because God wins in the end. Now, finally, I wanted to bring us our attention to verse 4 and 5. This is what it says. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Then this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. God is hoarding for you that which lasts longer than the experiences you are having right now. What God is hoarding for you will last longer than what you are experiencing right now. This passage talks about an inheritance that can never fade nor perish. This is what it's going to be our permanent joy. This is what's going to be our permanent joy. It will never perish. It will never spoil. It will never fade. It will always be constant. Now, when you're talking about an inheritance does not belong to strangers. It belongs to those that are part of the family. It belongs to the sons and daughters of a household. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to know that there is an inheritance for you, that God is holding an inheritance for you. And this inheritance is not temporal. It's going to last longer than the suffering and the pain you're experiencing right now. And we know that our greatest joy, our greatest reward is Jesus Christ himself. Is Jesus Christ himself. He is the one that you can never lose. You might have lost your job, but God is keeping for you that which you cannot lose. You might have lost things in your life, but God is keeping for you that which you cannot lose. You might have lost your health, but God is keeping for you that which you cannot lose in Jesus Christ. You might have lost your money, but God is keeping for you that which you cannot lose, because your temporal sadness will be overshadowed by his permanent joy. And therefore, through this, when you remember that you belong to an intentional God, when you remember that you are becoming immensely beautiful, when you remember that your triumph is sure because God wins in the end, when you remember that God is hoarding for you that which lasts longer than what you're experiencing right now, you can endure suffering and you can have hope in the middle of suffering. You can have it. You can have hope. I remember one time my wife and I were praying, and my wife, Kate, said a really great prayer that I was hoping we could pray together today. And she said, when we're going through a hard time and a rough time and a season of darkness, our prayer should be, Jesus, posture my heart towards where the sun will shine again. Jesus, posture my heart towards where the sun will shine again. And I just wanted you guys to just repeat after me this phrase, Jesus, posture my heart towards where the sun will shine again. Now let's just say that one more time. Jesus, posture my heart towards where the sun will shine again. You might be in a season right now where you're thinking like the sun will not shine again, but the sun does shine again. It does shine again, because sure God will win in the end. He will triumph in the end. And the one who triumphs in the end is on your side. And therefore, today you can have hope. And wherever you might be, you can have hope. You can have hope. Now, this is the way that I would like to ask you guys to respond to this message. Take some time to pray for those that are suffering around you. Take some time to pray for those that are hurting. Take some time to pray for those that might be going through a rough time, either people in your family or friends, or just praying for our world right now, where our world is going through a rough time. Just take some time to pray. And then secondly, take some time to bring comfort to someone else. And I know we are in a season where we're being asked to, socially distance ourselves. But you can bring comfort through a phone call, a WhatsApp message, or a Facebook Messenger message. Message someone else that's suffering, going through a rough time, to just encourage them, or to just say, you know what, I am here for you. I see you. I see you. I'm here for you. And to just remind them that God actually comes into our pain. When we're going through painful seasons, that God comes into our pain. He resonates and He sits with us in our pain. He gives us embraces in our own pain. And we can be a part of building God's kingdom by bringing hope to those that are suffering. And sometimes it just means just being there, just being there. So I would like you to do that this week as a way of responding to this sermon. Now, I know the question might be like, so, Humphreys, do we just ignore what we're going through right now? Do we just ignore because we know that we're going to have permanent joy? And an answer to that question will come next week, where we're going to continue to talk about this in this very same passage. Let me pray, and that will be our time together. God, we come to you. We come to you in this very moment. God, we pray. Whoever is going through a rough time right now, we pray, God, that may you be the hope that stands constant in their life. May you be the one who brings them hope. May you be the one that's anchoring their souls right now. We thank you, God, for your hard work, even in our own pain, even in our darkest moments, your hard work, God. May you work. God, I pray that you will bring hope in this season to your people. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Flood Church Sermon Podcast. Please send us your feedback by commenting below or by emailing floodlilongwe@gmail.com.